Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of this station. They're my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers, and we welcome your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. But we ask you to hold your calls because we have with us a very, very special guest. His name is Eric Barger. He's written a book, Disarming the Powers of Darkness, and it has a foreword by Jerry Falwell. It was co-written by David Benoit. I know both Eric and David, we've been on similar speaking engagements on many occasions. Eric, thank you so much for being with us.
Pleasure to be with you. I hope you're well.
Well, of course, now the whole idea of disarming the powers of darkness, you know, the average American Christian really doesn't have any grasp of the true nature of the spiritual battle we're involved in. You know, an awful lot of people don't want to hear about Satan. They don't want to hear about the Lucifer. They don't want to hear about demons. They don't want to hear about satanic possession or obsession. They don't like to hear things like that. They don't like to hear about hell. They don't like to hear that God would ever allow anybody to spend eternity in hell and eternal punishment. And yet, of course, these are part of the traditional teachings of the Christian gospel, aren't they?
Well, they certainly are. And, you know, not to lay this at the foot of one place within the church, but I think there has been a move away from preaching the whole gospel to preaching things that are more acceptable to congregations. And sadly, this is part of the move of liberalism that we see here in the end days, where entire denominations, let alone sprag churches here and there, had decided to preach something other than the complete gospel that Jesus and the disciples left us. So this is just part of the fallout of living in the end of the end days. But it may not be pretty, and it may not be something that we should that we need to hear about every single Sunday. I often say that I think it'd be out of balance for a pastor to preach on demonism and Satan 52 weeks out of the year. But we do need to have this somewhere in our Christian diet. And so David and I, as we travel, usually individually, but sometimes collectively, and speak in conferences and churches, are filling that void, and we're just part of those who are out there doing it. There's many people doing it, but we're excited about both Disarming the Powers of Darkness and also our last book, Entertaining Spirits Unaware. We feel like both those are our tools to really help people, help those in Christian homes that really want to live a victorious Christian life, to be the overcomers and the conquerors that Jesus made us to be. And that's really what Disarming the Powers of Darkness is all about.
Well, I think you're absolutely right, and you've done a great job on this. And really, I was so encouraged to hear that you were getting a lot of invitations from churches across America. So there seems to be a general awakening that there really is something to this idea that this spiritual battle that is talked about in Ephesians 6 and in many other places in the Bible is not imaginary but real, and somehow plays into what's going on in the world today.
You know, Dr. Stan, I think the average Christian out there who is born again and who loves the Lord and who really wants to be a ministry and a witness to the world around them really wants to go out and do the right thing, but many of us just, we don't have a battle plan. And what we've done in Disarming the Powers of Darkness is laid out a battle plan that each and every Christian can get a hold of. You can get your hands around this and say, okay, I know what to do now. And we give starting points. And we're not trying to fill in every blank for everybody, but we are trying to give people just a general battle plan that we can use in our everyday life. I've come to the conclusion that spiritual warfare is about 10% dealing directly with the demonic and 90% us living in personal victory in our daily lives and having our lives lined up in such a way that we're going to have the blessing and the protection and the assurance of God in our life. And so it really comes back to us being victorious first before we go out and try to help those who are lost in all kinds of demonic problems in the world around us.
Well, you certainly don't even want to even think about doing that if there's any chink in your own armor, because if there is, certainly the devil will exploit it.
Well, that's true. And, you know, I think the term spiritual warfare has run a lot of people away. It's frightened people. We even wondered, should we even put the term spiritual war or spiritual warfare on the cover of our book? We did indeed use it in the subtitle. The subtitle of the book is called Fearless Conquerors in the Spiritual War. Yet we thought that term itself had been so misused and maligned in some cases, in some parts of the Christian church, that it might be a detriment to us. But yet, the book is about us winning in the spiritual battle. And, you know, the Apostle Paul, when he spoke to his most carnal church, the Corinthian church, there in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, he makes the statement that we wage war, but not like the world does, and he never even qualifies it. He just moves right along as if he believes all of those that are going to read that letter, all of those that he taught there in Corinth, already understood they were in a spiritual war. I often state when I'm speaking in churches and conferences that it's tragic that now, 2,000 years later, anybody has to stand up before a Christian audience and announce to us that we are indeed in a spiritual war and look out and wonder if everybody really understands what you're saying. But that's part of the mission we have with this book, is to get us to once more wake up to the fact that we are in a battle, we are victorious, we have armor and armaments that God has given us, and there's an enemy out there, but it's not one we should walk in any fear of.
Well, of course, you're absolutely right, but how do you approach this? How do you make people realize that these things are real and not imaginary? I mean, we see, you know, the X-Files, and, you know, there's a morbid fascination about that program. In fact, it was one of the most popular programs on television for a number of years, and yet it dealt with all of these things. It didn't give us the whole truth, but you get glimpses of the truth from time to time. But that's television. That's not reality. How do you convince people it's real, and how do you go about preparing them for this spiritual warfare?
Well, Dr. Stan, we dealt with X-Files and Buffy the Vampire Slayer and those kind of things in Entertaining Spirits Unaware, but we revisit that just a little bit in Disarming the Powers of Darkness. There's the ninth chapter in the book is The Fascination with Fear and the Failure of Ignorance. We are hooked on the supernatural in our culture. The whole culture is inundated with it. We've been entertained by it. And many Christians, of course, try to justify that entertainment. But it is not God and his supernatural we're hooked on. It's a different supernaturalism.
All right, we're going to have to take a quick break here. And when we get back, of course, we'll get into this with Eric Barger. We'll, of course, invite your calls here at 1-800-544-8927.
Hello, this is health journalist Bill Sardi, and there's no better time to establish a biological response kit in your home. In an age when we hear about biological threats, more common are cases of E. coli in our food, cryptosporidium in our tap water, and staph germs, viruses, and molds in our air conditioning systems. Why be a sitting duck and run to the doctor after you've got a problem? Why not take something to stay healthy, like Alamex, the all-new 100% pure allicin garlic extract? You won't find Alamex in stores, but you'll find it by calling 866-405-4000. Alamex is equivalent to 15 cloves of fresh crushed garlic. And guess what? It's odor-free. Call 866-405-4000.
All right, well, this is Dr. Stan, and let me just mention some of the items that we have here at Radio Liberty, which we hope that you'll seriously want to consider getting. And we, of course, carry a number of books. One of them is on Ritalin. You know, they're drugging our children. So many children are on Ritalin today. We have a wonderful book called Talking Back to Ritalin by Dr. Peter Bragan, who's a psychiatrist who at least at one time was at Johns Hopkins University. We have a four-tape set on Ritalin, and this is so prevalent in our society, and it is doing so much harm to our society. It's hard for people to realize that these things could be done. After all, if it was bad, wouldn't everybody know? And the reason they don't know is because you're not supposed to. You really need to get our four-tape set on vaccines, especially now when they're talking about a new vaccine for everything. And I will tell you, I've talked to Kenneth Alabak, number two man in the Soviet biowarfare unit, and he told me that, you know, he is so allergic to everything. Why? Because he took all of these incredible vaccines when he was working in the Soviet Union. Give us a call at 1-800-5-HIV-WAR.
book that will really help you to understand the nature of the spiritual battle in which we're currently involved is Gary Kaw's book, The Demonic Roots of Globalism. Now, you may remember Gary Kaw's book, En Route to Global Occupation. His second book, The Demonic Roots of Globalism, goes into the very real spiritual forces, the dark and sinister spiritual forces, which have energized those people who are molding the world in which we live today. Going to the background of Masonry, Theosophy, and he actually quotes extensively from the writings of these people who have helped to mold the events of the 20th century. The Demonic Roots of Globalism by Gary Kaw will give you tremendous insight into the background of what's happening in America today, and unless you understand the spiritual forces at work, you really can't understand the unfolding of events. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR and ask for The Demonic Roots of Globalism by Gary Kaw.
Well, Dr. Stan, back here at Radio Liberty. Our guest this afternoon is Eric Barger. And Eric, of course, came out of the drug culture yourself, didn't you?
Yes, I did, Dr. Stan. I was 14 years a drug addict, about three and a half years a full-blown cocaine addict. And the morning that I was saved, the morning I finally surrendered my life to Christ, I was delivered from it, never went through withdrawals and all that. That kind of thing, never had to be in the hospital and the treatment centers, and just so grateful the way the Lord did that. And I think really he just had a quick calling to put on my life is why he did that in my case. But at any rate, I'm just so grateful for his delivering power. And I understand being on the other side of the battle, having been involved in the occult and also been a drug addict.
Well, I think that gives you that extra ability to talk and, you know, so much more effectively than I, who I talk only from secondhand knowledge. So why don't you pick up the story now and the things that people can do to be effective in this battle?
Well, certainly, and I just can't help but just take a time out and just ring the bell with Gary Kaw for a second. I know Gary and have traveled with Gary. We did about a dozen conferences together a few years ago, and what a great guy and terrific information. I cannot more highly recommend anyone's writings than his, and so glad to hear the ad there for his book, which is a fabulous book. So I just had to put that in, Dr.
All right, fine. You go right ahead. And that's The Demonic Roots of Globalism, and we carry Gary's three books, En Route to Global Occupation, The Demonic Roots of Globalism, and, of course, The New World Religions. And that New World Religions, I believe, is one of the best books we have, because it ties together this whole concept of the move towards world government and sustainable development and the Kyoto Protocol and the ozone hole, and, of course, the New World Religion, which is coming. And, of course, this conscious effort to deprecate Christianity, to undermine Christianity. As I pointed out in the last hour, the Law and Order program on NBC last night, why, of course, the villain was a Christian patriot, a terrorist, Christian terrorist patriot, and they use those words associated with them. You could imagine if they used a Jewish terrorist, why there'd be the ADL and the B'nai B'rith and the media would be saying what a terrible thing, but it's all right to pick on Christians. It's open season on Christians. And you have to understand, that if Christians don't have the courage and the church doesn't have the courage to stand up, then one day you're going to see cattle cars moving across this country with Christians crying out, just as in Hitler's Germany. The Jews cried out and nobody listened.
That's true. That is exactly it. You know, there wasn't much to watch on TV last night when we had to choose from The Bachelor, what was it called on Fox? I'm failing to remember the name of the company that was advertising the models dressed in next to nothing.
Oh, you mean Victoria's Secret?
And then on NBC, you've got, you know, what you just talked about. So there wasn't a whole lot to watch there last night, was there?
Well.
But, you know, that's what it comes down to, is that Christians are being put in a position where we're being made to look like something that we're not, over and over and over and over again. And, you know, a lot of people, when we stand up against these things, you have people within the confines of what claims to be the church who speaks out against you and I, who would stand up and speak about these things and try to rebut that which is being promulgated in our culture, and they would call us troublemakers. Well, I know you get this all the time. I certainly do. I get emails each and every day from people who claim to be Christians, yet, you know, defend Harry Potter to the teeth, for example. Defend, you know, you name it. They're defending something or other that has become their own personal choice to participate in. And so it comes back to us either deciding we're going to follow the Word of God or we're going to follow what the culture puts out. Again, that's what our book, both of our books, Disarming the Powers of Darkness, the new book, and, of course, Entertaining Spirits Unaware, our book from last year, what we're trying to do in those books is give people information so they can make better decisions with. I had a young man write me from Houston this afternoon, and I spent quite a bit of time writing him back, and he was not very happy. This is on the Internet on my website at ericbarger.com, and he wasn't very happy with the things I had said pertaining to Harry Potter. He told me that I was the reason there were wars. That, you know, it was people like me. And I wrote back and said, no, it's not because of me. It's because of the fall in the Garden of Eden. And I explained a little bit to him because he was obviously blaming me because I had a standard that was not changeable. The world around us has accepted moral relativism. The church has been infected by it. And then we wonder why we stand powerless and our prayers aren't being answered. And that's what David and I are discussing and what we're attacking here in Disarming the Powers of Darkness. If we want our prayers answered, we want God to save our loved ones, we want His provision, His protection, His supernatural hand upon us, there's a price to pay for it. And that price is to be separate from the world. That doesn't mean we're ignorant of what's going on around us in the world. Doesn't mean that we walk around in a cloud and no fog, but it means that we have a standard that won't be changed, and we make sure that we do our very best to live by that standard, even though we're never going to be perfect, you and I, everyone listening. We're going to make mistakes. We're all going to fall short of the glory of God. But to do our very best to follow Scripture as closely as we can, then we're going to experience the blessing, the revival within the church, the revival that touches the world around us, and our hearing our having our prayers answered and having God hear us in heaven and see the things happen that we want to see happen, to see our friends and loved ones saved and changed for His glory.
Amen to that. Well, you know, of course, I've had calls from Christians who said, look, I read Harry Potter. It was a fun book to read, you know, and there was a lot of fascinating things, and it was exciting and titillating. And I'm sure it's all of those things. In fact, I saw the movie, and it was an exciting movie. But, you know, I'm not going to be introduced to witchcraft through that movie. But children will be, because children can't separate what they see on the screen from reality. And it's amazing how many thousands of children, have written trying to enter this school for witchcraft over there in England. Of course, the school doesn't exist, but they believe it does. And, of course, this has drawn so many of our young people into witchcraft. Witchcraft is the most rapidly growing religion in America today.
That is very true.
And people have no idea. There is power there. I mean, you can get into this power. You tap into this, and your life will change forever, and it'll be exciting in many ways. But, of course, at what cost? At the very cost of eternal damnation. And, of course, the further you get into this, while a lot of the things that start out as fun soon become terrifying and frightening.
The Potter series has built within it a term for anybody like you and I. We're called muggles. Witchcraft and those who are involved in witchcraft are looked up to be, enlightened, and they're cool, and they're acceptable, and they're mysterious. And anybody who stands against it is somehow backwards and living in some other time zone, you know. So even within the very books themselves, J.K. Rowling has built that within the books. But I'm going to make an offer to your listeners now that we're talking a minute about Harry Potter. At my website at ericbarger.com, 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 no spaces or underlines, just one big word. It says right at the, once you enter the home page, we have a doorway page, and from that you go right into the home page. And in the middle column it says request a free info pack. Anybody who goes there and requests that info pack, I will send them a free booklet on Harry Potter. It is the chapter from our book, Entertaining Spirits Unaware. We have a chapter on Harry Potter in the book, and we've made that in booklet form. Hearthstone Publishers has printed that for us, and we'd like to send that and a number of other good informative articles and information to folks who would go to our website and request the free info pack, and I'll be glad to to add that Harry Potter book to the orders that come in from Radio Liberty listeners.
All right, fine. And I recommend Eric's material. It's good. It's straightforward. And you can rest assured it's coming from the right spiritual perspective. So, you know, of course, the thing is that the Harry Potter books had a profound impact. They were using them not only in secular schools, but in Christian schools. Because what's wrong, and let me just run by you what I get. Look, what's wrong with children learning to read? I mean, this got children excited about reading. How do you respond to that?
Well, this fellow that wrote me this afternoon from Houston, that's how he found me on the Internet. He was doing a study on pornography. And he found one of my web pages from my website, and I've got a lot of pages. We've got about 700 separate pages on our website. One of them was about Harry Potter, and it had the term pornography somewhere in the article, and the search engine picked that up. I had equated Christians who allow their kids to read Harry Potter books as allowing them to read spiritual pornography. And that's how this fella found us. If all we're interested in doing is just having our kids read, then 14- and 15-year-old boys will be glad to accept subscriptions from Penthouse and Playboy. And the young girls can read 17 and all the slimy-type magazines that are out that are aimed at them. If that's all we're interested in doing, it is tragic that we have lowered our standards so much that as long as a child reads, it doesn't matter what he reads. And for us as Christians, that is so far out of bounds. It's hardly even worth mentioning. It is so far out of bounds, yet I know that there are people who go to church, who claim to be Christians, who have allowed this to take place in their homes and lives.
Well, this is the problem that we're facing today, is that Christians don't know how to counter this. You know, certainly if reading is important, why not get them started on some of the great books of the past, the Count of Monte Cristo, things of this sort, some of Dickens' work. Certainly there are lots of wonderful Christian fiction out there, or books based upon the Bible, Helen Gunderson Traylor's books, which are fast-moving novels, but based solidly on the scripture. No, Harry Potter has a message, but it's not a message that Christians should be delving into, especially immature children who will be lured right into the very pit of hell. Well, right now I want to mention some of the other items we carry. Certainly, as you know, we carry the Miracle 2 soap products, and we're not, by government regulations, allowed to make any claims at all for this, other than to say it's soap, and I will tell you it is excellent soap. We have some of our listeners, people have used it, who say that it seemed to have helped them with a number of things, but we can tell you that I've used the soap for several years, for good, at least a year myself, and we're very happy with it, and some people say it helps heartburn, you know, a lot better than these very, very expensive pills that you'll get, and of course it's a non-prescription item. It's simply a very alkaline solution that's the neutralizer. So if you'd like more information on Miracle 2 soap, or you'd like to order the introductory package of the soap, the lotion, the moisturizing soap, the gel, and of course the neutralizer, give us a call at 1-800-5-HIV, WARM. And then, of course, we mention the Phenopoly set. If you have children or grandchildren in a government school and you would like them to be able to read phonetically and to pronounce words phonetically and to spell phonetically, the number 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. And if you would like, of course, to get your children out of the government schools where they'll stand a chance in the world, why Dr. Robinson's homeschool curriculum certainly is recommended. It's available. It takes the children from grammar school to high school graduation, and it's available for $199.95. Give us a call at 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. That's 1-800-544-8927 right now.
Our four tape set on the JFK assassination includes an interview with Lee Harvey Oswald. Of course, it's not an interview that I did, but it is an interview, and you'll actually hear Lee Harvey Oswald talking before the time of the assassination. a two-hour interview with Colonel Fletcher Prouty, who was the liaison between the Pentagon and the CIA at the time of the assassination of the American president, and then, of course, my overall analysis of the reasons why President Kennedy was assassinated. There's so much information that has not been put out, and if you listen to this four-tape set, you will begin to understand that there are forces at work behind the scenes which have been able to confuse the American people about the reality of the murder of an American president. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, that's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, and ask for the JFK assassination tapes.
Well, Dr. Stan, back here, our guest this afternoon is Eric Barger, and we're talking about his book, Disarming the Powers of Darkness. And certainly our producer has a question for you, Eric. How would you differentiate the wizardry found in Harry Potter and the wizardry found in the so-called Christian series, Lord of the Rings? How would you respond to that?
Well, first of all, the movie Lord of the Rings was a far cry from what Tolkien wrote. It was it had very little of the spiritual, the Christian input, I should say. It had a lot of spiritual input, but not the Christian input that Tolkien put in his writings. The main difference between the Harry Potter series and what Tolkien wrote or what C.S. Lewis wrote in fantasy is this. The Harry Potter series has a sliding scale of morality. Moral relativism is taught as acceptable to the heroes. In both Tolkien and Lewis, they have an absolute standard of morality by the heroes. In the Harry Potter series, the heroes in the book are involved in lying, cheating, drunkenness, cursing. They do the exact same things as those who are the villains in the storyline. This is a trend in today's entertainment world where there is no right and there is no wrong. It's what you believe is right and wrong. You make up your own rules as you go along. It's New Age moral relativism being taught in the storyline. I had a mother and her daughter come to my seminar in Pittsburgh not long ago, and I live in Dallas but travel across the U.S. and Canada, you know, both coasts, and this mother and her daughter accosted me in the foyer of the church in Pittsburgh before I even got up to speak. And she said, "We know you're coming to attack Harry Potter and there's nothing wrong with Harry Potter. Well, my daughter read all the books and that Harry Potter is a good hero and a great role model." And I said, ma'am, you don't even know what I'm going to say yet. And I said, "So it's okay with you that the heroes in these books are involved in drunkenness and cursing and lying and cheating?" And she looked at me. She looked at her daughter. She said, "Is that true?" And I felt so sorry for her daughter. She was about 12 years old. She looked at her mother and said, "Well, Mom, it's not every page." And I said, "Ma'am, the problem is you come in tonight with a preconception about Harry Potter without even reading it to find out what it's all about." And I said, "The trouble is you and your daughter announced to me you're Christians. It seems to me like you know everything about Harry Potter, or at least think you do, but you don't know what the scripture says about, number one, moral standards, and number two, about witchcraft." So I think we could probably just take the witchcraft out of the Harry Potter series, and it would still be completely unacceptable for anybody who has an absolute standard of morality, and that would be the Christian. And therein lies, to me, the biggest difference between what Lewis and Tolkien wrote and what is in the Harry Potter series.
But what about just this idea of focusing our children's attention on wizardry? Certainly wizardry and divining and all of these things are really calling on the dark forces which are there. And, you know, we started out, I can remember when I was a young boy, seeing a water witcher. Fascinating. You know, how could they really find the water with that wand? And you know, but I don't know if this is a good thing to introduce people to. What are your thoughts about it?
Oh.
I mean, everybody says, "Oh, C.S. Lewis is so wonderful." But I wonder if he wrote those books when he was really truly a Christian.
Well, you've hit on a couple points there. I totally agree with you about the introduction to witchcraft. Don't get me wrong, but when you're talking to a world who has been so entertained by witchcraft, you have to come back to the absolute standards thing, and there's a different argument that the world is not expecting you to bring up when you're trying to give an apologetic as to why you're saying what you're saying about the Potter series if you're speaking from my viewpoint. As far as I don't think that each and every Christian should be out there reading Lewis and Tolkien. Now, I know I'm going to get email about that. I know people don't like that when you bring that up. But Lewis and Tolkien, who were contemporaries, wrote in a time when the occult was something practiced in the back room of some seedy occult bookstore, really in major cities. It wasn't something that was advertised to our children as a way of life day in, day out in their cartoons, their reading materials, even in some of the things used in school. Yet the occult today has become totally acceptable in our culture. The Bible has such strong admonitions about the world of the occult. Nowhere in Scripture does God tell us we can be entertained by the world of the occult, or that we can be entertained by things that he calls an abomination. Three times in Deuteronomy chapter 18, verses 9 through 12, God calls the occult and its practices and practicers, practitioners, an abomination. That's the strongest condemnatory language you're going to find anywhere in the Word of God, coming from the mouth of God. And God reserved that for speaking about the world of the occult. I just think we live in a different world, a different realm today. People would say, well, isn't that a shame? Well, yes, it is, but we didn't design it to be like this. Just the world has slid more down that slope into this morass of relativism in the world, in the day that we live in, than was so in the 1940s when Tolkien and Lewis were creating what they created. And so for that reason, I think we should stay away from those things. And let me just caution, I don't believe we should ever give a Tolkien or Lewis book to one of our friends as a witnessing tool, because they're going to think that we're caught up in the same stuff the world is if they only read it with the eyes the world has given them. And today, if we ever needed a clear and bold picture of Jesus Christ and him crucified, it is now. We don't need to have a veiled version of Jesus trying to... I guess I could say, slip in on people without them recognizing that we're witnessing to them. I'm disturbed about that kind of evangelism. That's not what the Scripture ever calls us to do. It might sound like it's too in your face for a lot of people in the world we live in today, but Jesus didn't call people with their, you know, behind closed doors. He called them boldly in public, and I think we need to present him as the bold God who can save them and set them free.
And of course, that was the message of John Wesley, and certainly of Jonathan Edwards and the other great ministers of the past. They didn't beat around the bush. This is the way it is, and if you don't like it, that's your problem, not mine.
That's right. Billy Sunday was not seeker sensitive.
Right. And of course, the problem is today, nobody wants to say anything that might offend anybody, and so we don't really say much of anything. We talk and talk and talk, but we don't say much of anything. It's all warm. It's all fuzzy. And then we look at society and we say, how did this society become the way it is? After all, the society is a reflection of the church. The vast majority of our people are Christian. What's wrong with America today? And I think it should be very obvious what's wrong with America today. Our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or here in the Central Coast of California, 464-8295. If you agree, disagree, why give us a call. And maybe some of the people who support Harry Potter and think it's wonderful for school children, especially in Christian schools, to be reading, we'd love to hear from you. The book of Eric's book is Disarming the Powers of Darkness, and the powers of darkness are alive and well here in the United States today. And I thought it was very, very interesting that Jerry Falwell wrote the foreword to this book for you, because I think he feels very strongly about the things we're talking about, don't you?
Oh, most certainly. And, you know, his name is not a name that's usually attached to the term spiritual warfare, nor is Dr. D. James Kennedy. And both of them have, Dr. Falwell wrote the foreword for us, and Dr. Kennedy wrote a great endorsement for us, and so did Dr. Elmer Towns and Ed Becker and others who have written about our book. And we're just so grateful that others are picking up what we've written in the book and deciding it's important for others to read.
Well, I think it is, too. Well, let's go to Fritz, who's calling in here from Maine. Hi, Fritz. How are you doing?
Hi, Dr. Monteith. I think we have to watch out when they call this American culture. This is something which has been imposed on the American people.
You're absolutely right.
It has no relationship to where our culture was. Our culture used to be based on the Bible and Greco-Roman civilization. That was our frame of reference.
Right.
That's what everybody's frame of discourse was. And now it's the mass media. If you want to start a conversation with someone, you do it based on what's on the television or what's in the newspaper. And it's promulgated from New York, and it's been imposed on us.
Okay, you won't get any argument at all. You're absolutely right. They shape our reality, and it's about time we got away from that. Now, there are some pretty good things out there. Pax Television has some good things, and certainly alternative radio is important. And but we've got to guard what we watch, and we've certainly got to guard what our children see. Anything else like you'd like to say, Fritz?
Yes. Well, I think that you're looking at one form of it through, say, Harry Potter, but there's a more malevolent form, and that's the music. The most powerful propaganda tool that's available to, I guess, our, what I call them, our traditional enemies, is the use of music, rock and roll music.
You're absolutely right. And we have a four-tape set on musical madness and how they've changed the music of our church, and they've infiltrated almost every aspect of Christendom, both Catholic and Protestant. And where is the outcry? Why, people love it. They just love this wonderful beat. But, of course, this is really on a God. Hey, we got to run.
Excellent point. Thank you.
Thank you. And thanks for calling. Let's go to Ian, who's calling in from Ontario, Canada. Hi, Ian. How are you doing?
Thank you, Dr. Stan. Of course, the mention of C.S. Lewis got my back up. I think that Lewis is tremendously misunderstood by the American evangelical apologetic tradition, and they're too often they don't understand the books he wrote for children, Narnia. I'll say right out the gate that I didn't read any of the books he wrote for children, but I have read every one of his Christian apologetics I could get my hand on, and I think that he has to be given a certain amount of leeway. He was fighting occult parables by writing Christian parables in the same style.
Well, I think he wrote his children books before he became a Christian. I would not swear to that, but that's always been my impression.
Well, can I add, Dr. Montes?
Sure, go right ahead, Eric.
That again, my viewpoint on this is that Lewis was writing in a different day than we're faced with today. We have the floodgates are wide open to the world except as the occult. That is that's the difference in the day he wrote in, and the day that we're living in today. And I do agree with you that I do believe he was, to a certain extent, misunderstood. I guess that's the best way to put it.
Okay, and in fact, Ian, maybe you do know. Was he a Christian when he wrote the Narnia books?
Well, that I don't know.
Okay, so that was the question that I raised, and I really don't think he was.
Well, that's a very good point. It clarifies the confusion about him, but you've also made some good points about UFOs and that extraterrestrial question of life, and he addressed it in a trilogy of books, Out of the Silent Planet, Voyage to Venus, and then That Hideous Strength. Very prescient books, and the third one, very damning of the occult and of the institutional promotion of the occult, and he anticipated the situation we're in now, 50 years ahead.
Amen to that.
Time.
He was a brilliant, brilliant individual. Hey, thanks so much for calling in. Appreciate it. We're going to have to take a break, though.
Did you
want to stay on after the break?
I'd like to ask one more question.
All right, fine. Well, then you're going to have to hang on here for 3 minutes or so, but we'll be back in just a couple of moments here. But this is the time when I have to mention that Radio Liberty is listener-supported, and if you're out there in the listening audience and you believe that there really is a spiritual battle that's taking place and you would like to join the Radio Liberty family of supporters and help us do what we do, if you believe that on most things we're on the right track, nobody's going to agree with us completely, but on most things, if you believe that we are perhaps on the front lines of this battle and you'd like to partner with us, why, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. And, of course, for a suggested gift of $20 a month or more, you'll get our 4 best tapes of the month. You'll get our monthly newsletter. But more than that, you'll be helping us do what we do 5 hours every day, reaching out across America with the information you're not going to get most other areas. And so if you'd, you can, of course, get our newsletter. We'd be glad to send you a free copy of the newsletter. Some people really aren't in a position to become Tape of the Month Club members, and so they simply subscribe to the newsletter, and that's $25 a year. And if you'd like a free copy of our newsletter, you haven't had one before, September newsletter explains what happened in September 11th of last year. The October newsletter is Kristen Breisweyer's testimony before the Senate Select Committee on Intelligence on the 18th of September, testimony which really was suppressed by the mass media. It's a very, very touching. I hope that you'll take a look at it. And if you like that copy, it's, of course, it's up on the news, up on my website at radioliberty.com. But if you'd like a copy of the newsletter, why, give us a call at 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. Tell others about our programs. Copy our newsletters, copy our programs, give them to people and try to get them to think, because that's the big problem today. We've got so many people across America and Canada too who just can't think. And until such time as people are beginning to analyze what's going on, why, we're going to continue losing this battle. The battle in the final analysis really is God's. Our job is to do our best and leave the rest to Him. Give us a call right now.
Another of our fascinating four tape sets is entitled Concentration Camps, and it's four interviews with people talking about the move to establish concentration camps in the United States. Now, most people say that's foolish talk. We couldn't have that. And yet, if you listen to these tapes, you'll find out that those camps are a reality. They are being set up in case of civil disturbance. And, of course, the authority for the establishment of the concentration camps comes from the executive orders, which were actually put through during the time of the Reagan administration. For documentation of the location and the background to the formation of these camps, their establishment, and what may very well happen, or what they may be used for in the future, I suggest you call our 800 number, 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR for America. Our values, our future are under attack today.
Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest today is Eric Barger. His book is entitled Disarming the Powers of Darkness. And Eric, how can people get copies of that book?
Dr. Stan, people can attain both the books we talked about, Disarming the Powers of Darkness or Entertaining Spirits Unaware, by going to my website at ericbarger.com, ericbarger.com. Again, we have a special package of materials. If you request a free info pack, I'll include a free booklet on Harry Potter to those who write today. And for folks who don't have internet access, they can call us and leave a voicemail for us. There's no one in the office, but they can certainly leave a voicemail at 1-972-495-9490. That's 1-972-495-9490. And I probably should add also that I'm available to come to churches and conferences across the country. We don't charge a fee to go wherever we go. We go on a love offering basis and don't ask for the church to guarantee us a large sum of money to come. And we're open to speak in just about any denomination that believes the Bible. And I've done so. I've spoken in about 65 different denominations and groups across the country for the last 20 years, and just grateful for the relationship the Lord's given me with all those people.
Well, thank you so much. And let's get back to Ian, who's calling from Ontario. Ian, did you have another question?
Yes, by way of introducing this question, I want to discuss Lewis's book, Mere Christianity, in which, in the prologue written over half a century ago, he directly addressed this question of a society without an absolute moral code. He said that a society, unequivocally, would be unimaginable. He asked the question, can you imagine a society where men were esteemed for running away from battle, where a man could be proud to break his promises and cheat his friends? It would be as easy to imagine a society where 2 and 2 equal 5, unquote. He nailed the society we're living in now. That was Mere Christianity.
It's a very, very powerful book, and I certainly agree it's an important book.
Has your guest read it?
It's been a long time ago. I imagine that's been 17, 18 years ago since I've read it.
Okay, thanks so much, Ian. And let's go to Chris calling in from Kentucky. Chris, did you have a question or comment?
Yes, I do. You were talking about the of Harry Potter, and I want to go back to an old film, The Wizard of Oz. And that was that very similar to what Harry Potter was back in that day and time?
I believe the reason we have Harry Potter and the acceptance of it and the way we have it today is because of films like Wizard of Oz and those kind of films that introduced white and black magic. Years ago, I saw an interview. It was a newspaper reporter, actually, no, a TV reporter, who was interviewing Anton LaVey, who was the writer of the Satanic Bible. And he asked LaVey about white magic, and LaVey scoffed at him and said, there's no such thing as white magic. It's all black. And of all the things I heard LaVey say, that's the only thing I ever heard him say I agreed with. And what we've had now today is the total acceptance that magic and the occult is a formidable way to take care of life's problems. And it really does come from our parents and grandparents accepting those things and not recognizing that this was going to instill in us the idea that we could turn to the supernatural realm, not to God, but to the supernatural realm to have our problems taken care of.
And really, you know, it's so subtle. I mean, it's so fun. I love, you know, Somewhere Over the Rainbow and Judy Garland. And yet, of course, you have to understand the ideas it's very subtly placing into our minds. Anything else you'd like to say?
I wanted to also, at the time in the 1930s, it may be impossible to know, but was there any record that people were knew what that film represented?
The average person certainly didn't, but some of the people involved did. You remember the Wicked Witch, and then the Good Witch, the Good Fairy, and you know, and and of course, you know, the old wizard there, you know, hiding behind the screen, and of course, but the idea that you can tap into this supernatural power, that of course is what this is all about. Once you begin intrigued by that, it's only a short step before you're embracing many of Shirley MacLaine's ideas, and so. So it's so subtle, it's so gradual, it's so skillfully done, we don't even know when we're being seduced. What are your thoughts on that, Eric?
Well, that's exactly right. We've been desensitized, and it's taken a while, and it's certainly taken several generations for this to take place, since this was so introduced to our culture as entertainment. But if we can be entertained by it, and our minds can be put on hold while this stuff is taught to us, it certainly makes a psychological impact upon us.
Okay, anything else? That's Chris?
Well, I just wanted to bring that out as historic, and I'm going to spread the word about Radio Liberty, because this is very serious.
All right. Well, thank you so very much,
thank
and
you.
Try to get people listening and
sure.
and get them to tell others. And until people can begin to think, we're going to continue having problems. Well, right now we have with us, we've got Roger from Allentown. Hi, Roger. How are you doing?
Yeah, hi, Jens. I just want to differ on this one point. I think that C.S. Lewis was as Christianified as he ever was when he wrote both the Space Trilogy and Narnia books. And I don't have the copyrights right at hand, but they were thoroughly encrusted with Christian themes. I think we just have to be charitable and say that it's unfortunate that he saw fit to resurrect Merlin, for example, to do some of this dark magic that an untainted individual would not have been called upon to do. That doesn't at all jive with the way God would do things, I don't think.
Okay, fine. Well, of course, they were fantasies, but sometimes as we get into these fantasies and the magic and all, it's sort of like Dungeons and Dragons. You know, where is it going to create a problem? It's going to create a problem in your soul, and you really want to focus on the righteous rather than the unrighteous. But thanks so much, Roger. And let's get back, of course, to the book Disarming the Powers of Darkness by Eric Barger, who's our special guest today. And, of course, you know, the occult permeates every aspect of our society. And this is one of the big problems that we face, is that people really sort of think, well, I mean, what's wrong with just, you know, just a little tapping into this? And it is fun. But, of course, it involves so many things. In fact, somebody commented on the Victoria's Secret. I guess you did, didn't you, last night? And, of course, all of this is simply to stimulate prurient interest. It's so interesting how often pornography and, of course, sexual promiscuity and Satanism go together. Have you noticed that?
Well, I think one really spurs on the next. I mean, it's this whole acceptance that anything goes in the culture, and really comes back to that term I've used again and again in our conversation today, moral relativism. is that we make up our own rules as to what we think is right and we think is wrong as we go along. And if we don't have the absolute standard the Scripture gives us, we're in trouble.
Well, you know, that's so interesting, because in our schools today, in the government schools, they have something called the DARE program and the values clarification. We teach children to think, to make up their own rules, to decide who will be thrown out of the lifeboat, to determine who will live and who will die. And, of course, when it becomes that we decide what we think is right rather than what God says is right, this is where you get into problem. In fact, what we are teaching in our schools today, you make up the rules, is exactly what Aleister Crowley said. Do what thou wilt. That is the whole of the law. We are teaching a satanic doctrine in government schools today. That's why they had to take God out of our schools and prayer out of our schools and indoctrinate our children in these concepts of evolution and never allow them to hear that God created the heaven and the earth and God has rules. And when we turn against God's rules, why we open ourselves for terrible tragedy and perhaps for eternal punishment.
No, that's exactly right. You know, I'm looking at quotes just now. I'm looking at my seminar that deals with America and who we are and our founding fathers, and looking for a quote that really speaks to this. One of the founders, and even though I have not run across it, yes, here it is. The highest glory of the American Revolution is this bound together the principles of Christianity and the principles of civil government. America's Constitution was made for moral and religious people. It will not work for any other people.
Well, that was John Adams, of course.
John Adams.
And of course, why don't they teach that sort of thing in our schools today?
Well, it's pretty easy. When John Dewey and his gang hijacked the school systems back in the turn of the century or thereabouts, coming into the 20th century, this is exactly what happened. They had to take morals out. You know, our Constitution won't work for an immoral, irreligious people. Webster, the founder of American education, the father of our educational system, said, "In my view, the Christian religion is the most important and one of the first things all children should be taught under a free government. No truth is more evident to my mind and that the Christian religion must be the basis of any government intended to secure the rights and privileges of a free people." You know, I was reading the news story about what's happened in Alabama with Judge Roy Moore when a federal judge there has told him he must remove the monument with the Ten Commandments on it. And he has 30 days to do so. And I saw the comment that Barry Lynn made, who is the lawyer for the atheists there. And Barry Lynn said, "It's time that we get back to the Constitution for our laws instead of God." And I thought, you know what? Our founders took everything in our Constitution and our law system from God. These are people that want to try to eliminate God from the very reason that we have a country and the reason we have even our three branches of the federal government and so on. I know we're way off the topic today, but these are all very important things and certainly applicable to each one of us in our lives right now.
Well, I think maybe that's the very essence of what the program should really be all about, because, you know, if you don't understand that God has to be the foundation of everything, and that once we begin trying to make up the rules ourselves, we lay ourselves open to horrible suffering and horrible tragedy.
And that's what we have. If you look coast to coast, this is what's going on. And you know, you ask and mentioned my book several times, Disarming the Powers of Darkness. We really talked from both these books, Entertaining Spirits Unaware and Disarming, today in our conversation. But I'm going to just read some of the chapter titles. People are wondering, okay, what does this mean? The first chapter is, "You Are in a War." Second chapter, "The Ground Rules for Warfare." "Fruitful Warfare, Preparing for Battle." "There's Power in the Blood." "There's Power in the Word." "What You Think and What You Say." "Does Satan Know Your Thoughts?" And we answer the question, can the devil read your mind in that chapter? "What You Do and What You Use." "Silence is means defeat." That means unless you are powerful in your prayer life, you're never going to have victory. "Caution, the psychic hotline is called Hot for a Reason," is Chapter 8. "The Fascination with Fear, the Failure of Ignorance." "Examining the Armor of God," and we go on through the armor of God in the book and give people a battle plan that they can live victorious lives with.
Well, thank you so very much for being with us, Eric. I hope you'll be on some of our other programs. I'll give you a call. And hey, look, thanks so much for doing my programs while I was away. That was a big help.
Dr. Stan, I enjoy it so much. Thanks for asking me to host the show. I appreciate it.
God bless you. Right. Bye-bye. And, of course, this is Eric Barger. And, again, ericbarger.com. You'll enjoy his program, his website, and or maybe it's org, I'm not certain, but under any circumstances, I want to thank him for being with us, and thank you. We, of course, want to focus your attention on the fact that there really is a spiritual battle out there, and it's important that we know on which side we stand. And so until tomorrow at the same time, pray for America, pray for revival, and please pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and our protection. And so until tomorrow at the same time, Dr. Stan, goodbye, and may the Lord be with you.
Oh.